And now, Move the Sticks with Daniel Jeremiah and Bucky Brooks.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Move the Sticks, presented by Castrol Edge. DJ and Bucky back with you today. And I know we have a big weekend of football coming up. We've got the playoffs, the wild card round, and you can go to a lot of different podcasts and find the preview for that wild card round. We want to do something a little different today. We want to get a chance, as teams are hiring coaches and general managers, and you think about what you're looking for there from a leadership standpoint, somebody to be at the front of the team as a head coach or as a general manager. So we wanted to come up with a guest we thought could offer some tremendous insight of what it looks like and what these teams should be looking for. And couldn't think of a better one than this one. It's Chris Peterson, who I'm sure you guys are familiar with, was really unbelievable with the run he had at Boise State. He then goes to the University of Washington, wins a couple Pac-12 titles there, has a ton of success there as well. Really viewed as one of the best coaches in the country, regardless of level, and then decided really in his prime to walk away, to step away from coaching. And we wanted to catch up with him and find out what he was up to and see if we couldn't get some insight into what these owners should be looking for and head coaches and general managers. And I think you guys are going to really dig this conversation. Here is our visit with Chris Peterson. All right, Buck, excited to have a good friend back on the show again. We get a chance to meet with him just about every year at the Pac-12 Media Days, and really we look forward to catching up with him today. It's Coach Chris Peterson joining us. Coach, how you doing, man?
I'm doing great. I'm hanging in there good, and I hope you guys are too.
No, absolutely. We're going to get into some team building, culture building, as all these NFL teams are starting to try and start fresh here going forward. And we thought you'd be a great resource to tap into on that front. But before we get there, what have you been up to, man? We're curious. What have you been up to?
Well, I've been hiding out in Seattle a little bit. So I'm still affiliated with the university. I'm doing some stuff with our business school. There's a kind of endowed leadership position over there. So I do different type of stuff, mentoring some MBAs. I'm not teaching a class right now. It might be something down the road. But, you know, I do some different projects with professors. I've been, besides that, I've been doing a little bit of consulting with some coaches, trying to navigate through this crazy time. And working on, you know, I had this built for life philosophy kind of throughout my coaching career. It was kind of the heart and core of like what we were trying to do with our players, and just working on tightening that curriculum up a little bit and, you know, figuring out where I'm going to share that down the road with people.
You know, Coach, I think it's interesting that you had that connection with the business school, because I think so many coaches look towards business books and leadership books to try and figure out how to create their cultures. When you were a coach, did you consult some of those books, or how did you come about developing your leadership philosophy?
Well, I'll tell you this. Yes, if you saw my office here. You think So, but, you know, I had a coach. I had a Hall of Fame coach that was played at UC Davis. And Jim Soaker, who since passed away, is in the Hall of Fame. And I remember this. 30 years ago, he told me, we were talking about leadership one day, and he said, leadership is an art form that's created on a moving canvas. You'll never completely capture it, but that doesn't mean you can't create a work of art.
Ooh, I love that.
And I remember thinking that, you know, when he said that to me, I'm like, what's he talking about? My first thought was, well, I'm going to capture this. Like, yeah. You know, you're competitive. It's like, I'm going to figure this leadership out. I mean, you know, the quarterback thing, I played quarterback way back in the day, and you're trying to figure out how to do these things. And after 30 years, you know, I really understand what that thing's all about. It is like, it is so impossible to truly capture. It's like an itch that won't go away. And there's so many different styles and, you know, sizes and ways to get things done that. So I've been after this thing for a long, long time, trying to figure out exactly, you know, I think there's techniques. I think there's strategies. I think there's ways you can understand leadership, and then you got to bring your unique skills, you know, to the table authentically every day. And it is a challenge. There's no question about it. But I you know, it's something that we locked in hard in our programs, and I really, you know, took that leadership piece very, very serious in our program.
Coach, I want to hit on that word authentically, because we've talked about it before. When we've looked at guys that haven't been successful at the NFL level, we've pointed to that a little bit of man, they're trying to be, you know, a junior version of somebody else instead of just being who they are. How speak to that, how just important it is that you're yourself and your authentic self if you're trying to lead an organization, really any sport or any business.
Yeah. So, you know, when I start talking about this leadership thing, you know, it's so complicated. There's so many different avenues that we could go down. But I always think about when I talk about to start with people, the thing that makes the most sense to me is I call it the paradox of leadership. And the paradox of leadership basically says there's only two rules you need to pay attention to. Rule number one, it's about others, right? It's about inspiring and empowering others. It's about service and sacrifice for others. It's about being there to help others do what they want to do. Like, I think that's certainly young leaders. Like, it's like, okay, I'm the leader now. Everybody follow me. And it's like, wait, it won't work like that. You were there to help them get done what they're trying to get done and what your organization's trying to get done. And that takes a minute to figure that out. So that's rule number one. Paradoxically, rule number two says, no, leadership is only about you. It's only, you know, about you bringing your most authentic gifts to the table, to the arena every day. It's about self-awareness, emotional intelligence. It's about understanding your triggers that can kind of set you off different ways. It's about what I'd say performing in the storm. Like, I really think that, you know, I think it's pretty easy to be a leader when it's all good. But when the adversity hits, how do you handle that? Everybody else is losing their mind. How do you handle that? And it's about growth and change in you and your program, people around you. So that really, it took me a long time to kind of latch onto that, because I was always thinking like, why won't they just do what I say? You know, just do what I say and you'll be fine. And it's not about that. It's about like me showing up authentically with the, you know, whatever my gifts are, which are completely different than everybody else. And they're probably few and far between, but everybody has a few. And really, like, if I can show up with my best and then push those to support others, that's a great starting point for me when I think about leadership.
You know, Coach, you mentioned something that I think happens every year. And I know great coaches understand this. Every year, there's some kind of storm that you must navigate through to get to the other side to have success. And it may be a player. It may be an issue that you're having with the scheme. But there's always something that you have to deal with from an adversity standpoint that you have to overcome. How do you prepare yourself and your team to deal with those rough moments that may come while still maintaining the course when it comes to how you plotted out the season?
I really think it has to do with, you know, what your program is. It's training that mindset. I love this. I love to watch any championship that is earned, whether it's the Lakers last year, whether it's, you know, the Super Bowl champions, whether it's the NCAA champions. And if you listen to them, this would be my next project maybe down the road. And I would just get all these clips of them being interviewed on the phone, or excuse me, on the field after the game, whether it's the baseball team, whatever. And like clockwork, everybody says the same thing. We've been through so much. This has been so hard. They have tears in their eyes. I'm so proud of the team. Like, we stuck together. Like, nobody ever says, wow, that was so great. It was really easier than we thought it was going to be. And you think from the outside, you know, that you'd be the best team, and, you know, the Lakers do their – the Lakers, they said it. Like, I'm literally in. So I can't remember who it was, the player or the coach said, I just can't believe what we've been through, and we got this done with COVID and all those things. So it's like, that's just part of the gig. And those – like, I always think about this. Sports, you know – certainly football, but I think you can say sports in general. It's about random events and setbacks. That's the game. So whoever can handle those things the best and just be resilient and keep it. And so like, you have to know that's coming. You have to train for that. You have to get your mind right. You have to practice that and practice. You have to set up and practice where they're failing and have them keep working through that. And, you know, and I really think that the teams that handle that the best, that's what I was getting to, that performing in the storm. Like, it's all good when it's good. Mm-hmm. You know, I love being a leader when it's all good. I mean, it is top when it's like, wait, this didn't go like we thought it was going to be. I mean, your stomach's like, you know, got 17 knots in it. And you're like, oh, now what? What do I say now? That's what it's all about.
Coach, this is so great, man. I want to tap in a little bit on the player side of things as we're going through the evaluation process. I think back to the job you did at Boise and at Washington, not only bringing in really good players, but then developing them and making them a better version of themselves. What's a great question? You know, we get a chance. We can all watch a tape. We can all see these guys play. We can put 40s on. We can get all the numbers, all that stuff on the paper. When you get a chance to visit with these guys, obviously it's important to get to know them. What's a great question that you had when you were trying to recruit guys and learn about them?
Yeah, I think that you're on the right track there. It is about like asking the right questions. Mm-hmm. And the questions to me come about what we're trying to find in players or in coaches, like whoever's going to join our organization. Like, you have to know who fits you. Mm-hmm. You know, everybody talks about that, but what are you talking about? Like, what is the fit? Mm-hmm. Well, I want really good players. Okay, check that box. You know, but there's got to be some other things that go along with this. And so, you know, I always kind of thought about it broken down into, like, Bucky, we were talking earlier, you know, the guys that we talked about, we call them OKGs.
Yep.
Our kind of guys. And people really mistook that word, this OKG. They really thought it was just, really good guys that squared away and came from.
Never made a mistake.
Yeah, never. Exactly. Like this. And they're like, you can't win with that. And I'm like, what? You can't win with what? Like, guys that fit you? So they didn't understand how detailed we were in breaking it down and the questions we would ask. So we had, you know, we wanted to know, like, so we had I almost thought about it in different ways. There was like performance character, mm-hmm. and then there was relational character. Mm-hmm. And so there were certain, so, you know, we really wanted to know how passionate and how much a kid really loved the game. Mm-hmm. So we were going to ask questions off that. Mm-hmm. To the kid, to his parents, to the coaches that surrounded him. Does he really love the game, or does he love the recruiting process that comes with this? Because everybody loves that. Mm-hmm. You know, that, and it's really easy to get those things. Everybody loves playing 7-on-7 now because they want to post a highlight of them making these great plays and everybody liking it. Like, are you doing this because you love the game and you love working your craft and you love improving? Or do you love all the stuff that comes with it? Like, what's more important in this thing? And they think it's all about football, but then when they get to a program, you know, like Washington or wherever, and you put them through the grinder, it's like, holy smokes. On the setbacks and the invert, I'm not sure if I really like this, coach. Yeah, I know. You're trying to find these questions out. You know, so it's like, so the questions are, like, for us, it's like, okay, how driven is he truly for this, you know, the passion and love of the game? How competitive is this person? How tough is he? And when I talk about toughness, you know, it's like, there's a physical component to it, but I don't really think about it like that. You mm-hmm. know, I think about it as, how do they handle setbacks and adversity? We can go on and on.
I love it.
No, coach, that's so fascinating, because we're at a time, I mean, not only in college, but in the pros, where certain jobs require a program builder, is what you say. Other jobs require like play callers and tacticians, but other places require a program building. And watching how you built the program at Boise, but really how you built Washington, what are the core traits needed to really build a program?
Yeah. You're right. I mean, the one thing, Bucky, that I always, you know, believed in, and like paying attention to the teams that, really did well, like a few of the special teams I was on, some good teams, a couple teams that were like, oh, man, I think we underachieved. Mm-hmm. And I always felt this, that, you know, the team your team, your organization is going to rise to the level of leadership that you provide and really the culture that you build. Like, I've always believed that. And, you know, at the end of the day, when the dust would settle and I would look back on the season and it didn't maybe go as well as I thought it would, and I did some soul searching, I really knew that was on me. Mm-hmm. You know, it was like, man, how do I get off? I've been doing this so long, and how did I get off track on these things? Mm-hmm. But I think it starts with like leadership. And I think it starts with like creating like inspired leadership. So again, that's a whole other topic. Like, what does that look like? Right.
Yeah.
I think everybody wants to talk about culture, and in some ways, don't like the word at all because it's just so overused and it's just numbing. Mm-hmm. And everybody talks the same thing, and so few people really do it. I like to think about like this, like culture to me is more of the long game. You know, that's developing like these habits and these traits and the character skills, like the built for life stuff that I was talking about. And there was a GM in the NBA that said this when he was asked, you know, what's your job here? And he said, my job is to create an environment where people can do their best work. Mm-hmm. Mm. And I heard that and I'm like, that's brilliant. Like, how simple is that? And you think about that when you go to work every day, if you're the leader, you know, we're all leaders, right? The position coaches are leaders of their groups and everybody's got their, you know, their area, their responsibility that they own. Like, are you creating this environment where the people that are you're working with can just, you can unleash their talent and let them go to work? And then I think it's about creating a disciplined strategy. You know, everybody's got to have a strategy. How are we going to win in this business? And then when I use the word discipline, because it's easy to get off track, you know, you got to keep adjusting and tweaking because we know random events and things. And okay, now this is different than we thought. We got to keep evolving it, but we're going to stay disciplined to the process and to the things that we think really we hang our hat on. And then the last piece is the learning piece. I mean, you have to continually just ask the questions, right, Daniel? I mean, it's about mm-hmm. asking the questions and like, okay, so, and when you're asking these great questions, I think you're always learning.
Coach, I think we're about the same age, and you know, come up playing the quarterback position. You're around how the game has been taught and how coaches handle situations. And I feel like it's changed a little bit just with the difference in how kids are coming up nowadays, where you talk about the standard, right? You have your universal standard that we're going to have as a program. But I feel like now more than ever, maybe the individual instruction, you know, like it's not just that you got to have the one message, you have your standards, but then I feel like these kids, you got to, some guys need something different from the guy next to him. Have you noticed that at all, the change where you can't just have kind of a one size fits all for these kids, where you're going to have to reach one kid one way and another kid a different way?
100%. You know, it is different. It's like, you know, the good old days, get in line. Yeah. I'm the coach. That's why it works. Just pay attention. Yeah. It's like, now it's like, wait, what? You know, there's so much more. They're educated so much more, and there's, you know, they're coached at a higher level by the time we get them, and they've seen different things. But even just mentally, like, you know, certain guys learn different ways. But to me, the whole leadership thing, and again, like, I will tell you this, like, I think the NBA, you know, the NBA is kind of interesting to me, and certainly the NFL, but the NBA and those coaches, because in the NBA, the players have all the power. Mm-hmm. They have it. Mm-hmm. So the very best coaches, they learn to win influence. They're not used. You can't use the power trip, the power tools, yeah, so to speak. They're not working.
Yeah.
And you look at those guys that are doing those things, you know, the Spolstras and Brad Stevens and all. I mean, those guys are phenomenal. They just earn that trust and respect and win influence with their guys. Pete Carroll and, you know, all the best of the best, that's what they do. You know, you look in college, and certainly in high, a lot of it is still a little bit of that, you know, I'm the coach, this is why we're going to do it. But you see, like, what you're talking about is it's kind of changing. The times are changing. And really, I think in a lot of ways, you have to be much more skilled as a coach to put this team together because everybody is different. They know more. And I think it's, I think in a lot of ways it's for the good. You know, there's some certain things I think are changing for the bad. And we can talk about social media and the comparison thing and the transferring and like a lot of stuff, like, hold on here.
Yeah.
But in terms of how to lead people and how to treat people and get the best out of them, understand really, like we talked about that word authentic, right? What makes this, the guy, what makes Johnny tick is going to be different than what makes Jimmy tick.
Yeah.
And good coaches figure that out.
You know, Coach, it's funny that you bring about the developmental model. One of the teams that you mentioned, you talked about Eric Spoelstra. I'm fascinated by the Miami Heat and their way of developing players. And Daniel was asking a question where it kind of really centered on how do you develop players and the skills that a coach is necessary. And thinking about the quarterback position, it is the most difficult position to play and to coach. And so in a perfect world, how do you believe like a coach could create a developmental model to allow coach players to really be at their best? Because it's not a one-size-fits-all position, but you have a lot of talented players that can play if you cater things a certain way.
Yeah, you know, what I just try to do is, you know, I go back and I try to look at the guys that are the best of the best that have played the longest and, you know, and study those guys. And then you kind of couple that with some of the – you know, the best coaches, you know, I just, you know, the guy right now is obviously Tom Brady.
Yeah.
And how driven. And I mean, after all these years, his whole, that was the first thing I talked about, right? Trying to find those OKGs. It's like how passionate, there's nobody more driven and passionate about the game than this guy. And it's been going on for 20 plus years. Are you kidding me? And then, so, you know, these guys bring these, they got to bring something to the table that's kind of special. And then you pair them with that special leader that's there to support and develop these skills and understand the game. And then it goes back to the paradox of leadership, right? It's like these really great leaders and coaches are there to support these guys. I will tell you this unbelievable story. So this was like 2 years ago, I think. The Saints were playing. I think they had just played the Rams, and they didn't want to go back home. Because then they played the Seahawks, so they wanted to stay on the West Coast. They play the Rams, I think it was. It could have been the Chargers, but the Rams. That's the game that Drew Brees, you know, breaks his thumb.
Yeah, yeah.
So I go down on Monday. The Saints are there. I go down to the field. They're practicing. I go to say hello to Sean Payton, and I'm feeling bad. You know, they lost their star, and I kind of tiptoe up. Hey, Sean, how you doing? And, hey, really sorry to hear about Drew Brees. And he's like, yeah, it's a bummer. I'm like, man, oh, you know, I'm like feeling sorry for – I'm feeling sorry for – and he's like, Coach, we're good. This is what we get paid for. This is exciting. We'll get Teddy going. I mean, Teddy's a great player. We're going to get him going. I mean, and it's – and he met – and he went on for 5 minutes about how, like – and I walked away thinking, no way. They won their next five games. Yeah. They won them all.
Yeah.
And so it's that combination of obviously a really good player. You know, he's Teddy Bridgewater, got a lot of talent. And then that support and that belief and that mindset, it was phenomenal. I mean, in that five-minute conversation we had about that, I walked away from that conversation inspired as a coach.
Coach, you mentioned Tom Brady, and Bucky and I talk about this all the time when we look at quarterbacks that have kind of hit and then have struggled, right? So you have trying to figure out, man, the skill sets look the same. You look at the training is similar. This guy makes it, this guy doesn't. And we kind of came up with this image of Tom Brady, and if you've seen him before, of him on vacation with his family on a beach with his shoulder pads on, going through drops on the beach on vacation. And I'm like, this is not – he doesn't turn this off. Like, this is always on. And that, to me – when we try and figure out why this one hit and this one missed, man, it seems like 9 times out of 10, it's a commitment, it's a drive, it's a work ethic, it's a passion thing more than it is anything other than, you know, a skill type thing.
There's no question. I mean, he's a one percenter. You know, you can say whatever. I mean, everybody would say, like, you watch his, you know, his combine video, like how he runs, his physical tools. It's not about that. It's so obvious. Mm-hmm. It's that drive. It's that, like, how about how every time after they have a loop, like when he was with the Patriots and they had, you know, a bad loss or something, everybody's ready to write him off or two. You could just see the fire in his eyes.
Oh, yeah.
And with Tampa Bay, you know, one of the podcasts that I love to listen to, it's How I Built This.
About it's my favorite.
Well, so the thing is, like, you can listen to five of those.
Yeah.
And it's the same traits. Yep. Like, it's roadblock after roadblock after roadblock, and they just figure out how what the next move is. And that's what I think about the, you know, the great quarterbacks or the great competitors. Like, most of us would tap out. Like, this is too hard. I can't get this. You know, so many people were probably thinking about inventing great things, but they ran out of money and they, you know, like, regulation, you can't do it. Not those guys. They figure out the next move and they're always on their, like, last straw. And then this happened. And then this happened. And it's kind of the same characteristics.
It's like the flywheel. It's also by the way, the book is out. You got to read the book on How I Built This Book. I'm almost finished with it. It's phenomenal, Coach. You'll love it. But it's also the same thing as the flywheel, right? It's like The Good to Great with Jim Collins, where he talks about it takes forever to pull that wheel. But man, once you can get that thing spinning, you know, then you're off and running. It's the tough part to get to that point. Once you get that thing spinning, you're good.
Absolutely. Good to Great, one of the top three. I don't even like to, you know, use the word business books because I think it applies to teams and organizations. So love it.
You know, Coach, one of the last things, this is interesting. I think you can relate to it as a coach. Ron Rivera had a situation where he talked about, I want guys who love pro football, not guys who love being professional football players. And to me, my interpretation was, I want people on my team that are deeply invested in winning as I am. Do you agree with that sentiment? How does that resonate with you?
I think it goes back to the number one thing we were talking about. It's that driver passion for the game. They just are driven. Like, there's, you know, you can talk about whatever you want about pro football and the money they're making. The special ones, you know, are there for the drive. You can just feel it. You can just see it in how they come to work every day. It's like you said, being on the beach with your shoulder pads on. I will tell you this. Like, I saw this way back when we were at Washington with Buda Baker. I would love to take credit for that guy in terms of, man, we really fixed his mentality and, you know, I got him right. And that, you know, I mean, he's like 170 some pounds. He's probably gonna be mad at me because he's going to say he's more than that, but like he's one of the best safeties in the NFL at 170, whatever pounds. But this guy, you should have, okay. So in practice, every day we walk out of our tunnel. If we were going to practice on our practice field, the DBs would be at the far end of the field. That's where they ran their individuals, warmed up before we stretched and all this stuff. Half the guys would walk across the field, dragging their helmet. Here we go. Buda would strap his helmet up in the corner of the tunnel, and he'd sit there for about a minute or two getting himself. And he would not leave until he was ready. And then he would sprint every single day, sprint to where his guys were all straggling in. And that is how he practiced every day for the time that we had him. And then he goes to the NFL, you know, in the first year. Again, he's just underside guys, makes the Pro Bowl as a rookie. That it's like he just shouldn't do all these things we're talking about. Then next year, he's an all-pro safety at 170-plus. I'm sorry, Buda. He just shouldn't be doing it. And you watch him play with that energy and that focus and that drive. That's what they do.
All those great players have that in common. It brings up an interesting point, is that this is going to be the most challenging draft because scouts have been locked out of facilities. They haven't been able to get out there to practice. I mean, I could give you a million stories of guys. I remember going to Cal watching Cam Jordan conditioned in a morning practice with the receivers, you know, as a 290-pound defensive lineman. Well, that's a note that I take, that it gives you a clear picture of who this guy is as a guy, not just who he is as a player. Man, it's going to be a difficult challenge for teams this year because of that practice information, Coach, that we get going there and watching your guys work. Coaches can tell you things, and that's great, but you might not get those type of anecdotes that can really help in your evaluation process.
Yeah, there's nothing like, you know, you just don't know till you get a guy on your team.
Yeah.
And so the next best thing is go watch him be on his team.
Yeah.
But I always believe, like, this is the issue that we had in recruiting, like, we weren't going to be able to see every single guy every year live. Mm-hmm. We just wouldn't. We maybe might watch hours and hours of tape, but there's nothing like being live. Yeah. But we would always hang our hat on this mantra. I mean, I believe this so to the core that we would always say recruits. So you can replace that with pro prospects, whatever.
Yeah.
Recruits, will tell you who they are.
Mm-hmm.
You just need to believe them.
Yeah.
And it goes back to your questions. Like, you got to ask the questions to the coach, to the coaches, to the, you know, to anybody surrounding him, have those conversations. And it's really apparent that, like, you can start to feel this. Like,
yeah,
it's not really a lot of times a mystery. You know, you got to spend enough time asking the questions and being around, you know, spending time.
Last thing, Coach, I'll let you run. You've been very generous with your time today. It's been great to catch up. But, man, I hear your passion coming through. You've got so much to offer, and you're doing it in a really cool way and working with students and coaches. Is there still an itch there for you at all on the coaching front?
Well, there's certainly an itch on the coaching front, but that could be much different than being on the sidelines.
Yeah.
Point. There's no question I'm very passionate about a lot of things. And that's kind of where I'm figuring out. Like, at this point, you know, you never say never. I've learned that long ago. I've seen all the coaches. I'm not doing that. And they do it tomorrow. You know, what I think is at that point, they really didn't believe they were going to do that. And then things change. And so I've learned that long ago. But I'm really interested in and excited to figure out maybe that next river to step into, you know. And challenge myself in different ways. You know, I've been a coach for 33 years of coaching straight. And it's like, it's been awesome and I've loved it and the relationships, but I think there could be something else that could challenge me in a different way, but still use all the experiences and the things that I've learned to help others.
Well, it's been awesome to catch up with you. We've got, again, as we do every time we talk with you, we've got
pages and notes.
So we appreciate you so much, man. It's been great to get to know you over the years, and hopefully we'll do this again real soon. We appreciate you.
I appreciate you guys. Stay safe, and thanks for having me on.
Well, it was phenomenal. I hope you guys enjoyed that as much as we did. One of the best guests we've ever had here on the show. He's as humble and as smart and as driven as anybody you will ever talk to. You can see why if you're a business, man, bring this guy in. Let him work with your people. Let him teach your people, because he gets it. And I think these teams looking for GMs and coaches would be wise to heed the advice that he doled out there during that conversation. I hope you guys have enjoyed it. I hope you guys enjoy a great weekend of football. We will be back Monday to recap it all on the recap episode with Rhett and Bucky. And then we'll get a chance to really start marching towards the draft, start getting into some of these college players that are going to be making the leap here to the NFL level. Look forward to that and those conversations. That's going to do it for us today. Appreciate you guys hanging with us. Appreciate you listening to Move the Sticks, presented by Castrol Edge.